Europe takes emergency measures to calm the markets.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson with Marketplace's continuing special coverage of the economic turmoil. Regulators in Belgium, France, Italy, and Spain today did something that typically only gets done in a market crisis. They banned the short selling of some bank stocks. In other words, they're trying to limit the ability of investors to make money on falling stocks and thereby keep the stocks from falling so much. For more on this, let's bring in our European correspondent, Stephen Beard. He's live with us from London. Stephen, first, give us a little refresher on what short selling is.
It's where investors make money from falling stock prices. For example, they sell a share they don't own and then buy it back at a lower price and pocket the difference.
And why are these four European countries temporarily banning it?
Well, this is a direct response to the very sharp falls in share prices this week, especially bank shares. You recall the French bank Société Générale fell by 20% at one point this week on rumours that the bank was in trouble and on rumours that the French government was going to lose its AAA credit rating. Both rumours were denied. It was believed there was some short selling of bank shares at the time. So this ban, in the words of the Europe-wide regulatory body, which is coordinating it, will, quote, restrict the benefits that can be achieved from spreading false rumours.
But the ban is not Europe-wide, right? It's just these four countries.
It's only these four countries. They're the only ones that agreed to the measure. The UK, which has Europe's biggest financial centre, did not agree. Neither did the other 22 members of the EU. And the US, too, has made it clear it will not be imposing a ban.
OK, Stephen, I'm going to bring in Peter Buchvar now. He's an equities strategist with the trading firm Miller Tabak in New York. Peter, from your experience, does a short sale ban like this work to calm the markets?
It actually does the exact opposite. If there's one thing some of us learned in Economics 101 is that what determines a price is both supply and demand. When you start restricting the supply, it distorts the pricing of assets. A sell decision should be treated no different than a buy decision. Betting on a stock going down should be treated no different than betting on a stock going up. It what is what creates true price discovery. And I think this is nonsensical. It was nonsensical when the U.S. tried it in 2008. And also making it nonsensical is that it's temporary. Everyone knows it's going to revert back. So it really does nothing to stem calm and actually does the opposite because the government is getting involved in the pricing of assets.
So why do they do it if it just does the opposite?
Why do they do it? Why does government do a lot of things that they do? I can't really tell you why.
Well, do you think that there's any chance that the U.S., if this crisis worsens, will do the same thing, will ban short selling?
I'm hoping that after the experience of 2008 and they realized how ridiculous it was, that they would not revert to that. But I guess you can never put anything past a government decision such as this.
Peter, let me just ask you generally, how does this current crisis that we're in feel to you compared with 2008 at this point?
Well, it's somewhat similar in terms of the focus is the banking system, but this time around, it's unfortunately the weakness in the banking system is in Europe, particularly, is fed by the weakness in sovereigns. So, yes, the U.S. banking system is healthier today than it was then. It's much better capitalized, much less levered. But when you're dealing with sovereign risk with countries the size that they are, it's extremely worrisome because not only does it impact global asset markets as the risk-free rate is no longer risk-free, the unpredictability of how these governments respond also creates an enormous amount of uncertainty. And
great. Peter Buchvar with Miller Tabak, thank you so much. And Stephen Beard, our correspondent in Europe. And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up in overseas trading this morning, about 1.5% in London, 2% or higher than 2% in Paris. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow jumped 423 points, around 4%, to close at 11,143.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation, supporting customer choice and clean, efficient energy sources and technologies, working with customers nationwide to create a sustainable energy future. Constellation.com. And by Allianz, managing more than $2 trillion in assets and providing investment solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com.
Well, all the unsettling economic news this week has investors seeking shelter, and some are finding a safe place in currencies like the Swiss franc and the Japanese yen. But that's not causing smiles in Zurich and Tokyo, as Marketplace's Eve Tro explains.
The euro is supposed to be first runner-up, where investors turn when the dollar's weak. But with euro nations deep in debt, it's not looking great. Ishvar Prasad is an economist at Cornell University.
So there is a desperate search by investors for some safe place to put their money.
You might think other countries would be giddy, like if the second or third runner-up got to step in for Miss America. But no. Prasad says when big foreign investors flock to smaller nations' markets,
those markets take a huge jump, and then people get nervous about whether those are getting overvalued.
Everyone knows they're just fill-ins, while the dollar and euro fail to fulfill their duties. Right now, Switzerland and Japan are the go-tos. Switzerland because it's in Europe but has its own currency. Japan because it's a big independent economy and, since the tsunami, has nowhere to go but up. But as the Swiss franc and the yen rise in value,
their products become much less competitive, and it also reduces the amount of earnings on those exports.
Brian Dolan is chief currency strategist at Forex. He says the Swiss and Japanese are uglifying their currency, cutting interest rates, loaning more money to look less safe. Andrew Hilton at the Center for the Study of Financial Innovation says they're also jawboning. That's when bankers warn investors to stay out or else.
I will link the Swiss franc to the euro. That will screw you all. Well, it's a most unlikely threat.
Because that would hurt Switzerland as well. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
Our special coverage continues online at marketplace.org and later today on Marketplace with Kyra Zdahl. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Financial news changes by the very minute. Domestic and global markets are crazy.
China's not about to move away from buying U.S. treasuries.
The European Central Bank wading into the Spanish and Italian government bond market today.
The whole debt ceiling debate made us look dysfunctional. We all know that.
That's okay, though, because we're here. Marketplace. It's the business show for the rest of us. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.